All right. Good morning, church. Good to be with you all this morning. Good to see all your smiling faces. If I sound like a frog, it's probably because I am sounding like a frog. So just pray for me this morning that the Lord will help me get through this. But I want to welcome everybody here this morning. Thank the good Lord for you. Welcome to 2026. Hope and pray that this year is a blessed year for you. I hope and pray that. You know, and as that song we just sung says, you know, it said, glad day, glorious day, right? One of these days, you know, it's going to be a glorious day for all of us. It may be sad for the ones we leave here behind, but I can guarantee you it's not going to be sad for those that go on, right? We're going to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and there's nothing anymore that we can look forward to than that as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to be over in Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter, if you want to turn there. I don't know, the Lord's been putting me in Ecclesiastes a lot in the Old Testament here lately, but I'm going to be in Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter, and as you're turning there, we'll stand up and read it here in a little bit. Stephanie and Mike had a dog that was probably, it was part of our dog, it was our dog too as well, named Maggie. Now, Maggie was a good dog. She really was. There's two problems with Maggie, though. Maggie couldn't hear, and Maggie didn't want to stay in boundaries. That's not a good combination, especially not when you live on the road. So anyway, one day there, I thought, well, I'll take a shock collar that I had on my dog, Coco, and I put it on Maggie. And I said, well, I'm going to let Maggie get loose, and I'm going to stand out there and watch Maggie. That's what I was going to do. So I was standing out there, and I turned her loose, and she was okay for a little bit. And she's a beetle, by the way. Anyway, I turned her loose for a little bit, and all at once, Maggie took off down the road. Well, when she got so far, Greg, that shock collar kicked in. And when it kicked in, she was yelping. Of course, I was yelling at her to stop, but she couldn't hear me. And so I was standing there, and she was just barking behind her, trying to bite herself from behind. She thought something was after her. What she does, she runs right on through those boundaries, and she goes on the other side of it. So when I ended up, I had to go and take the collar off of her, pick her up, and carry her back inside the boundaries. And, you know, that's the thing. So I stood in the yard, and I just watched that, and I was just amazed, you know. When she quickly comes to those boundaries, she just went right through them. Listen, the scripture I'm going to read to you this morning, and what I want to talk to you a little bit about today, is the boundaries in our life. And I want to talk about those boundaries for 2026 for all of us, if you don't care. Now, King Solomon, whom God said was the wisest man ever to live, God said there was none like him before, and there was none like him afterwards. The Bible says this about him. So he was the wisest man that ever lived. Well, he pinned down the scripture I'm about to read to you here just a little bit ago. He was an old man at the time. Ecclesiastes was later in his life. And the scripture we'll read is concerning boundaries, and it's concerning about crossing them and what can happen. And in looking back on his life, Solomon had a lot of regrets. That's what Ecclesiastes, if you look and really read and dig into it, which I have been here lately, Solomon had a lot of regrets in his life. And so he pinned down a lot of stuff in Ecclesiastes that looks back over that. So as you read the book of Ecclesiastes, this is Solomon's doing, is looking back over his life and thinking about stuff that he has done or that has happened that he regretted. If you're able, let's stand. If you're in Ecclesiastes 10, I want to read one verse. It's going to be the 8th verse. Ecclesiastes 10:8. And it goes like this. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would open up the hearts here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that the word would go out, as I always ask, Lord. I pray that you would get me out of the way. I pray for your wisdom and your knowledge this morning. Father, I pray most of all for your anointing. And Father, we will just give you the praise and the glory for it all. For Father, you know you are the one, Lord, that gives us what we have, Lord, and shows us the way, Lord. And we want to praise you for that this morning. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Do you know there's a principle in the Bible that's called you reap what you sow? You know that? The Bible teaches that a lot. We usually think of it about being in the New Testament, but you know what? It is something that is through the whole Bible. You reap what you sow. You reap more than what you sow sometimes, and you'll reap later sometimes than what you sow. That's just the way this principle works. That's God's law, that obedience brings blessings. That's the law that God has out there. And disobedience brings cursings. That's just a simple thing that's in there. In Ecclesiastic 10:8, it says that Solomon's way of teaching. This was Solomon's way of teaching that principle. That's what it was. There are two parts to the verse, and I want to break them down as I go into this morning, so you bear with me, and you pray for me, because I'm telling you, my voice and stuff, I don't know how much longer I'm going to go with this, but I'm going to try. There's two parts of the verse, and I want you to just look at that. Solomon tells us in the first half of verse 8, he that diggeth the pit shall fall into it. Have you ever heard someone say this? They're just digging a hole for themselves? Huh? This is where this comes from. This is how Scripture comes into vernacular of the world today. You've heard people say that they're just digging a hole, that they're just digging a hole for themselves. Listen, it conveys the meaning of this, that someone is taking an action that is going to cause trouble for themselves or for someone else. This is pretty much what it's trying to say. And this gets to the principle that is found 5 times in the Old Testament. It's everywhere else. God's trying to get a point across, and he's trying to use Solomon to do it, and he's telling them, he said, listen, you can take an action that will cause trouble for you. You may think that you're totally right in doing it, but it could be an action that's going to cause you trouble or cause somebody else trouble. You see, you cannot spend your resources, your energy, time doing something that doesn't bring you liberty, but instead will bring you nothing but bondage. A person can do that. You can do that. And may I tell you right up front that all the advertisements of the devil that tells you that you can have liberty in your life are nothing but a lie. Absolutely nothing but a lie. Peter, in 2 Peter 2, it talks about a false teacher, and it says it this way. Well, they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. You are a slave of whatever controls you. Do you understand that here? I'm not up here to try to make things just sugarcoat it for you. I'm just here to tell you, if you are in bondage to something, you are a slave to that thing. You are a slave to it. No doubts about it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The only real liberty that can be found, and I'm going to say it right up front, is found in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. That's the only liberty, the only true and real liberty that any of us can come is through found in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the Son therefore sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen? That's the only liberty. I want that understood here. I mean, I may be talking to young and old here alike, but I can tell you, listen to me. The only freedom, the true freedom that you will ever experience is the moment that Jesus Christ comes into your life. I hope you understand that. So here is the picture of a man digging a hole, and he's digging it as fast and as deep as he can, and someone comes along and asks him, what are you doing? He tells him, I'm doing something that I love and that I want to do. How many times have you heard that in people's lives down through the year? And without even realizing what he's doing, he's going to have the pit so deep and so wide that if he'll not be able to get out of it, but he thinks he's doing himself a favor, and he thinks that this is liberty for himself. Listen, look at me and understand that. Listen. The sin of a lifetime. A sin of a lifetime can begin in an individual whenever they are young. Do you know that? The sin of a lifetime can begin in someone's life when they are young. The majority of the people don't start something out when they're in their 40s. They do it usually whenever they're young. These are statistical facts. This isn't something I'm just shotgunning out there, throwing out there to you. You may be young here this morning thinking, I'm different. I can control whatever it is that I can do, and I can quit whenever I want to. Digging a pit when it involves alcohol or drugs or sex or whatever it may be, you name it, and not realizing until one day you look around and you're standing in the middle of a crater. You're standing in the middle of a crater and you're wondering what has happened to your life. Well, can I tell you something right here? You're the same person that Solomon was talking about. You dig a pit, you're going to fall into that pit one day. It can be a pit of bitterness. I've known people that have dug pits of bitterness because someone had done them wrong. But I want you to know, you have a choice. You do not have to dig that pit. You don't have to do it. You have the choice. You can allow yourself to be full of anger and bitterness. And if you allow all that you're doing is digging a pit, but for somebody else, you think that you're digging it for somebody else, but you're digging it for yourself. And you'll spend the rest of your life miserable. And your existence will be miserable. And on this planet, until you go out of it. Because all that you've done is you've let that bitterness and that hatefulness to eat away at you the rest of your life. I've seen it happen. I know what I'm talking about on that. Now, it's possible to get out of that pit. It is. I hope you understand that. You've dug for yourself, but it's only through Jesus Christ. It's only through Jesus Christ and the love that Jesus has for you. But it would be so much better if you had never started to dig the pit to begin with. I hope you understand what I'm saying up here this morning. He that diggeth the pit shall fall into it. Now, the last part of the verse is really what I really want to dig into if I can this morning. And whosoever breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. I don't like snakes. I guarantee you there are probably a lot of people in here who don't like them either. Almost every time I see a snake, my wife will tell you, and I've told you this here before, the only snake she likes is a headless one. And that's just the way it is. There's no, if any snake comes in our yard around our house, it comes into the wrong boundary. I can just tell you that. But if you look in the scripture, almost every time you see the word snake in the scripture, it's not in a positive light. There's only one time that I can think of in the Bible where even a serpent is mentioned that it is. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much the Son of Man must be lifted up, because Jesus himself took upon the poison of sin. That's why it's like that. He took upon the poison of sin because he is the only one that is the cure for sin. And I want that understood here this morning before I go any farther. Whosoever breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite them. If digging the pit represents doing something evil, you know what? Do you know what breaking the hedge means? It means breaking down something that is good. That's what it means. In the physical sense, a hedge can be a fence. It can be brush. It can be anything that's around your yard to keep stuff from getting in, to harm you, harm any of your livestock. It could be that kind of stuff. And even to keep your livestock in, to keep them from getting hurt as well. We know that. But listen, whenever I was back home, whenever I lived back home, I'd go up on the hill, and I hunted a lot back then. But when I'd go up on that hill up there, there would be those chestnut rows of fence line that had broken down. But those chestnuts, a lot of them were still pretty decent shape back in the time, but they were just everywhere. Maybe where some of them were still on the ground. But I often thought, now, I knew who lived in that part, and I knew where all the fence lines were at back in the day. And because people at one time had put up a hedge, had put up a fence, and maybe it was just part, but I knew where it was at. Now, in a spiritual sense, how do we know where our spiritual hedges are today? Around or to protect us. Christians, we can thank God for the hedge that is around us. You do understand, if you're a Christian and you hear or here this morning, there was a hedge that was put around you. It was put around you and put around your families. Why is it put around there, Greg?
For protection.
It's to keep what? It's to keep the enemy out. It's to keep it out. Now, listen, you can't, the Bible tells us that Job had a hedge around him. It tells us that Satan wanted to get to Job, but he couldn't do it because why? God had put a hedge of protection around his family. He couldn't get to him. But we also know that later on that God said, okay, I'll take it down and we'll see what happens because he was wanting to try Job. And we know the rest of the story. Now follow me through on this. Most people don't ruin their lives by digging the pit first. Most people ruin their lives sometimes by trying to break down that hedge first. but taking that hedge out first. A lot of times it didn't start that way. No, long before people start digging the pit, they have broken down the hedge. Because God gives hedges to protect us. He gives them to do that. God has given us parameters. He's given us guidelines. God has given us boundaries. And if you're not supposed to cross them, where can you find them at? Listen to me. We were talking here earlier. Jason asked a question. How do you study the Word of God? You want to know where boundaries are at in your life? You want to know what the boundaries God has set up? All you've got to do is get your nose buried into the Word of God. Yes, as Jason said, it is hard. It is hard. And you know why it's hard? Because we have a God in this world, a little g, that wants to make sure that your mind doesn't concentrate on what it needs to concentrate on. He wants to make sure that everything else will come into focus except what we need to get into, and that's the Word of God. I'm not standing up here telling you I'm any better than anybody else, because brother and sister, I'm not. You don't think that I don't have distractions? You don't think that the devil doesn't want to try to distract me from digging into his word? Because he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've got to dig into my word. If I don't dig into it, there's no way that I'm going to be able to bring the messages that I need to bring for you all. I heard Alan Stewart say this one time, and it has stuck with me for years. I heard him say this years and years ago. He doesn't get his messages from the newspapers. He doesn't get them from magazines. He doesn't get them from anywhere else. He said, I get them by going to the Word of God and praying. Did you not hear preachers say that they get a fresh word from God? Did you not hear that? That means that you got to be able to listen to what God's wanting you to preach about and be able to bring it across in a way where the people would understand it. Listen to me. This is where the boundaries are found, right here in the Word of God. You're holding them in your hand. God tells us in His Word that everything is permissible, everything is wonderful and joyful if we stay within these boundaries. That's what He's telling us. The trouble is, sometimes we don't think these boundaries are enough. We want to do them on our own, do we not? Listen, a lot of folks have this idea that when they grow up, no one is going to tell them what to do. Can I tell you that what I've learned, and I wrote this down, because I thought about this the other day really hard and prayed about this. I've learned this. You'll know when you're grown up, when no one has to tell you what to do, but you accept personal responsibility for your own life. That's when you know that you're grown up. Christians, that's when we know that we're grown up on the Word of God sometimes. I don't have to. Listen, I love to listen to teaching. I love to listen to testimonies. I love to listen to people teach the Word of God and talk about the Word of God. But Ron, I can tell you right now, I've got to go to that Bible, and I've got to go to it on my knees. And I've got to understand it for myself. No one, listen, I can stand up here and preach to you and try to teach you to make you change your mind about something. I can't do it. I'm not going to stand up here and argue and try to make things. No, I'm not going to do that. Because listen to me, it's between you, your God, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible. That's what it's about. And praise God. Listen, that's especially true. You have to grow up. And the Bible tells us to get off the milk. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. But be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as we need of milk, not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Doesn't mean that you're lost, but it means you're unskilled. And you don't know what you're not digging into it enough. For he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Growing up is not an age, it is a stage. I have been in churches, Alita, where people were well up in age, but yet didn't have no idea about what the Bible was talking about. Now, let that soak in for a little bit. Brother, it's not how old you are to get to understand what the Word of God is about. It's how much, you know what? It's what stage, it's what you really, if God's dealing with it, if you really want to know, God will show you. He tells us in His Word, if you really want to know His Word, He is just and will show you what His Word means. He will do that. Like I said, growing up is not an age, it is a stage. Some folks never get it because they never learn that the hedges were not put in place against them, but were put there so they could be protected. Our roads are full of hedges. You know that out here. You go out here and you get on 21, there's markings, there's middle lines, there's roads lines on each side. There's stop signs. There's every speed limit. There's every barricade. And they're not put in place against you. They're put there to protect you. Let me ask you a question. If you go out here and drive on the left side of the road all the way home, how would you think that would go for you? Not good, I don't guess. Listen, all of your life there will always be someone or something trying to keep you from crossing the boundaries to protect you. And I want you to know this morning that we serve an almighty God who loves you more than you could ever love yourself. Did you know that? He loves you more than you could ever love yourself. He's put a hedge around you for a reason. He's put it there for a reason. Not just so he wants to confine you, but he loves you enough that he wants you to stay within. A lot of folks have a rebellious spirit about them. Can I have an amen? They don't like anyone to tell them what to do or to keep them from doing something. 1 Samuel 15:23 tells us about a rebellious spirit. And it goes like this: for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. We always believe the grass is greener on the other side. You don't believe me? Get a herd of cattle and see how many times they want to get out and cross the fence to go to grass. It's just the exact same thing as on this side of the fence. We've all been there. I know. We know it. God's not trying to keep you from a good thing. He's trying to keep you from getting hurt and ruined. That's what he's trying to do. Most parents will lay out some rules and boundaries for their children. A lot of parents do that. Not because they hate them, but because you love them, right? Absolutely. It's absolutely. And they know what can happen on the other side of those boundaries. Solomon was an old man. He had lived through a lot of stuff. I'm going to tell you, kids, you got good, godly parents, praise God for them. Praise the Lord for them. For parents that will set boundaries and show you boundaries that come from here. Amen? Not because they hate you and want to ruin your life, but because they don't want to see your life ruined. The Bible tells us that if you break through the boundaries, if you break down the hedge, the serpent will bite you. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, he says, and that they might have it more abundantly. And by the way, you don't have to cross down that broken hedge. You know what? To know that the serpent's not good for you. You don't have to. Let me tell you about people that cross the hedge. Number one, most of them never come back. The ones that do come back have been bitten and wounded. They're hurting. And most of the time, even when they come back, they're back across it again and want to go even farther. If you break a hedge, a serpent will bite you. Number one, who builds the hedge? Who builds it? Every time you see a fence row or you see a boundary, someone has built that fence. The question is who? The Bible-believing church, it's not your pastor that makes these rules. It's not me. I don't stand up here and just go about myself and try to think, well, is this something I can say to keep people from doing this in their life and doing that? No. It's God's hedge. And it's a man of God's responsibility to know and to lay them out in love according to how he can do it. According to this word. In a Christian, Bible-believing home, it's not the parents who make the rules. In a Christian, Bible-believing home, it's God who gives them through the Word of God. That's how they lay it down. It's not, I guarantee you, Greg and Michelle didn't lay out the rules because of them. I know me and Tink didn't. And I can look around this church and I know we didn't lay them out like that. We laid them out there because the Bible says to lay them out there like that. And a Christian life should never be governed by the way they feel, what they feel is right and wrong. This book right here, in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. Everybody in here that calls yourself Christian, you are subject to the higher power. Not me. I'm not no pope. I'm not nothing like that. I'm subject to God in heaven. That's the higher power. And you are as well. Every one of you. You're subject to it. For there is no power but of God, the power that are ordained of God. God has built the hedge, and he doesn't want you to touch it. It's your responsibility to stay within that hedge. It's yours. It's your responsibility to dig into the Word. How is the hedge broken? Look at Ecclesiastes 10:9. Go down one verse. Whosoever removeth stones shall be hurt therewith. And he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. A hedge can be torn down one stone at a time. That's how it works. One stone at a time. No one gets up one day and says to herself, well, I'm just going to go do something stupid today. At least not most people. Long before they did that, they started tearing down the stones, tearing down the hedges before that. Thinking about it, planning it, rehearsing it. They've thought about that. And they've let it get into their mind and into their thought, removing one stone at a time. Romans 13:14 says this, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And again, on the other side of that hedge, there is a snake that wants to bite you. I'm going to give you some examples, and you all know these in the Bible. They're found in the Bible. David, who God said was a man after his own heart, walked out on a balcony one time. When he walked out on that balcony, he had that hedge all around him. he had that hedge all around him. But he walked out on that balcony, and it said that he looked over and he saw Bathsheba. Instead of running in and shutting the door and getting on his knees and praying, he called for her. And when he did that, he started taking the stones of that hedge down. Amen? The serpent bit him. He went on to commit adultery. He went on to commit murder. He went on and he lost an infant child. And his kingdom was at war the rest of the time that David was a king. And you and I will say, and you and I are not the exception. I want you to understand that here this morning. We are not the exception to the rule. When the prodigal left home, when the prodigal son left home, he didn't start out by digging that pit. No. He started out by breaking the hedge. You know what that hedge was? He had a father that loved him. He had a father that knew that what he was about to do was not right. But you know what the prodigal did? He went ahead and went anyway. All finished with you. And if you read the story of Abraham and Lot, this is very interesting to me. If you go back and look at the story of Abraham and Lot, do you remember what happened? They got so big, their cattle, that they were having war amongst the herders, so they had to separate. Remember what Abraham offered him? He said, you go to the left. He said, I'll go to the right. You know, I've often wondered about that, so I really got to studying that this week. Do you know that the Jewish compass goes east to west? It doesn't go north to south. What Lot was telling him was, they were in Canaan. He said, Lot, if you go north, I'll go south. And if you go south, I'll go north, and we'll just stay over here in Canaan land. You know what the Bible says Lot did? He went east. Did you know that? God had the boundaries set up for him. Abraham had those boundaries set up. But Lot decided, hey, listen, I don't like these boundaries. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go east. Long before he pitched his tent towards Sodom, he overstepped the boundaries and started tearing down the rocks one at a time. And he moved. We all know how that story ended up, do we not? Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, the plains of Jordan. And it was well watered, and everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest out of Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abraham stayed in Canaan. He stayed there, and Lot could have too. How many of you would say this world's a mess? I listen, did you know, and I'm going to end with this. Sue, did you know every rape, every abortion, every war, every natural disaster, every famine, every murder, every sickness, every broken home can be traced back to one broken hedge? Did you know that? God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he gave them one hedge not to cross, Michelle. One. He said, of every tree in the garden, of other fruit, you can have it all. But there's one I don't want you to eat of. I don't want you to. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest, therefore shalt thou surely die. And guess what? Guess what? Because he's no different than every one of us sitting in here today. It's no different than every one of us. Because sometimes, you know what? We have a rebellious spirit. What did they do? They broke it. They broke that hedge down. And guess what? The snake bit them. And Romans 5:12 says this, and you wonder why everything's going on in the world today. Here it is. Wherefore, as one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. I don't know, you can sit back here and think that's unfair. You can think, well, that was Adam, that was Eve, they didn't do it. Can I tell you something? We are just as depraved in our own way today. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. And there's good news. If you've broken the head, Jesus says right here in Luke 4:18, and he says it best when he said it this way, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. He came to seek and to save those who have broken down the hedges. Your life, listen to me. I think someone said it here earlier, I believe it was. You don't have to stop doing anything to come to Jesus. You let Jesus take care of the correction. You let him take care of it. And I guarantee you, if the Holy Spirit's knocking upon your heart and you come to this altar, he will do the correcting. Amen. You'll still may look the same, but I guarantee you on the inside you won't be the same. He'll change you. He will change you. He come to seek and to save. He come to take those that had broken down the hedges in their life. He's come to build those hedges around them, a Christian life. Man, that's awesome. He's come to you. 2026 can be totally different for you. Do you understand that? I don't know what kind of year you face in 2025. It may have been horrible. I don't know. But listen to me. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. It's a new year. It's a new beginning. Can I tell you, Christ loves you, young and old alike. Don't worry about, if the Lord's dealing with you, don't worry about what somebody around you might think. Don't worry about that. Heaven's worth it. Heaven is worth it. Having the Holy Spirit living within you is worth it. As a young man in my teens, when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, don't you think for a moment that I wasn't made fun of when I went back to school? Don't you think for a minute that you weren't? Let me give you an example, not for me, but think about Noah's sons. Do you not think that through the years when they were building that ark, that they didn't make fun of them? What are you guys doing? Oh, we're building an ark. Out here in the middle of the desert? You're building an ark? Yeah. There's going to be water come out of the sky. And they looked at him and said, oh, yeah, yeah. It never rained. It never rained before. Do you not think that they weren't made fun of? But can I tell you something? The moment that door shut on that ark and it started to rain, I guarantee you there's a lot of them around there that wish they was, that they wish they were Noah's sons. Can I tell you something? Even though the world can make fun of you, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Let's get a song this morning. Julie, if you don't care.